and be led in prayer by Brother Jarman of Cleveland. So let's all rise and sing 248.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to this hour to hear again words from the book that Thou hast prepared before us, we pray that Thou would bless this our brother Duran, that he may be an instrument in Thy hand, that through him we may be blessed. Bless his heart and his mind and his lips. Bless our ears, bless our hearts, that we may receive a blessing. These and all other things that we need, we pray for in Jesus' name. Amen.
All the brethren who do not have an outline, there's a little outline that's being passed around. Raise your hand, and one of the deacons will hand you one. This outline gives you a little idea of what Brother Duran is going to speak about. And Brother Duran's subject is Mediatorial Discourse Number 1. And it's a question, changing the chart? So his subject is changing the chart. Not that he's going to change it, but question mark. Changing the chart? Mediatorial Discourse Number 1. And so get your outline and pay attention to our dear brother Duran.
If this doesn't work, there will never be a Mediatorial Discourse Number 2. I'm glad Brother Jesuit stressed the question mark. We don't intend to change the chart, nor do we even intend to suggest that anybody's changing the chart. As a matter of fact, the whole purpose of this discourse is to point out, I hope effectively, that any accusations that go around that the chart is being changed are wholly unfounded, but that we all probably view the chart a little differently because of stresses that we use in our study. We have recently been saddened by either accusations or insinuations that some are changing the chart if they don't subscribe to a certain viewpoint. And I think this unfortunate kind of suggestion comes from a lack of communication, a lack of understanding of another's viewpoint. I don't think that we should ever come to conclusions before we understand the objections of others. I don't think we should ever come to a conclusion until we understand both sides of a question. After all, there are very fine Bible students on both sides of almost any given question. We're calling this a mediatorial discourse because we're trying to stand in the middle and view both viewpoints as objectively as possible. I have, to some degree, held both viewpoints that will be discussed this afternoon. Therefore, I think I can be singularly objective. Many of us have only held one viewpoint. I do believe that I am obligated to give my reasons for thinking that one view is superior to another, but that should be obvious in the course of the discourse. So if I do seem weighted or prejudiced in one direction, it's because at the moment I do feel one viewpoint has advantages over another. And one more thing before we get into the meat of the discourse. We're still in the introduction section on your outline. There are a lot of subjects that I like to talk about. And then there are subjects that I think I have a responsibility to talk about. This discourse falls in the second category. I don't think it's an unpleasant subject. I don't think it has to be an unpleasant subject. I personally don't even consider it a controversial subject. All right, we've handed you an outline simply because we want you to see the flow of thoughts and what direction we're going, and you know roughly what to expect next. Let's go to Roman numeral number 2, the original conception of the chart. The chart of the ages, of course, occurred first in a reprint article and subsequently in the first volume of Studies in the Scriptures. And we believe that the first volume view of the chart of the ages is primarily what we would call an event viewpoint of the chart of the ages. In other words, when this chart occurred in the first volume, and as it is explained in the first volume, time features are in the background. Event features are in the foreground. When Brother Russell explains a line or a pyramid, it is to represent an event. And this thought of events permeates the way the chart of the ages is discussed all the way through Volume 1 of Studies in the Scriptures. I happened to pick up one of these little blue charts on the Chicago book table out here. There's a rather large stack of them. And in keeping with that event idea, I think you'll notice, and this is the one that you find in your first volumes, there aren't any dates listed on the chart at all. But there are events mentioned. For instance, under Gospel Age, it says, from Jesus' baptism to the completion of the church, which is his body. On the chart, that is from here to here. No dates, don't need dates, very simply described from the baptism of Jesus to the completion of his body. How do I know that that's at that dotted line? Because that's where the Gospel Age line goes, to that point. Brother Russell's symbolisms are very obvious to the eye. He defines the Jewish age from Jacob's death to the end of the 70 weeks. Well, that implies time, but it is events also. So this line here at the beginning of the Jewish age represents the death of Jacob. And this line here where the Jewish age ends, represents the end of the 70 weeks, AD 36. See, we can put dates on them, but they aren't on the chart. I think you'll notice, though, just from looking at what we have said so far, that these are not even parallels, because the ending of this Jewish age here ends in the middle of the Jewish age harvest, according to the definition Brother Russell has on the chart. Whereas this gospel age does not end in the middle of the harvest, it ends over here at the end of the harvest, according to the definition that's printed right on the chart. But these are event definitions. Under Messianic age, he has the period of the reign of Christ. It's very easy. Messianic age starts here, ends here. The reign of Christ. You can see definitions, events, were the motivating definers of the chart of the ages in the first volume of studies in the scriptures. Subsequently, volume 2 of studies in the scriptures was written. As a passing note, maybe not one that's insignificant though, this chart of the ages never does occur in the second volume. There are charts in the second volume. Charts which makes Brother Russell's points much more obvious, much more vital. But this chart of the ages never occurs in the second volume. Nevertheless, as the volume was written, and as the brethren were growing up on this chart of the ages, they naturally would point to this chart of the ages as they discussed the second volume, and we would start pinning dates on these various lines. So here, under our outline, still in Roman numeral 2, we label the volume 2 conception of the chart as being the time features of the events that were already pictured. So when we get in volume 2, you see, we start putting dates on. This line is 4128 B.C. This double line here, that's something I still don't understand to this day. One of these lines here at the flood represents 2472 B.C. You see, in the second volume, we can start pinpointing dates. In the Jewish age, 1813 B.C. for this first line. 29 A.D. where Jesus is baptized. 33, where he's crucified. 36, at the end of the 70 weeks. 69 or 70 here at the dotted line. In the second volume, yes, very definitely, we start putting dates on this chart. And without question, when the second volume was written, we do the same with the gospel age. Starts here, 29 A.D. This line where the Lord returns is 1874. This line where there is no line, except up here, is 1878. The next line, 1881. And this last line, no question about it, 1914, in the second volume. Until we get to the last part of Roman numeral number 2 for our discussion here this afternoon. Both views of the chart of the ages harmonized perfectly until 1914. And then both views did not harmonize because the events that are pictured on the chart did not happen at the dates that we were putting on the chart. Brother Russell said so. We all say so. The two concepts diverge after 1914. Some of us in this audience stress the first volume concept, events. Some of us in this audience stress the second volume concept, dates. Well, as I said, nobody's changing the chart. Just some of us are looking at it one way, and some of us are looking at it another. Let's go to Roman numeral number 3 on our outline. The problem, simply stated. When 1914 came, each of us had to make an adjustment in our minds, and we have had to do so subsequently. Simply stated, the question is, will the chart represent time, or will it represent events? Or we can state it another way. And this is probably the place we always argue about, here in the harvest of the gospel age. Will harvest represent the parallels? Or will it represent all of these various features represented on here by these pyramids? That's really the whole problem in a nutshell. Since 1914, that's an adjustment each one of us has had to make. If you haven't made it consciously, you may have made it subconsciously. If you haven't made it either way, you don't use the chart very much. Does this represent events to you, or does it represent time to you? Let's find out. One problem here in the harvest of the gospel age has been the two-harvest confusion. In order to straighten out the mess that has occurred in our minds when the two views of the chart no longer harmonized, some of us had said, well, there's two harvests. There's the harvest on the nominal systems, that's 40 years, and there's the harvest where we're still trying to find the members of the church, and that's still going on. And, that's a way that satisfies some to explain it. I don't think there's much scriptural support for two harvests. About the only place that really gives you a scriptural support for two harvests is Revelation 14, where this harvester puts in his sickle twice. But if you remember there, first he harvests the true church and then the nominal. And most people who use the two harvest concept do it the other way around. Harvest the nominal church and then the true. So that doesn't fit either. So the two harvest confusion is confusion. And while it satisfies some minds, you can see why a lot of brethren can't quite make it click in their minds. And the problem is, again, we'll state and stress this problem over and over again. We're trying to take the chart which represents events in one person's mind and time in another and argue about it. Well, it doesn't work. It cannot represent both time and events anymore. Before we go on, let's find out about 40 years, because this problem does exist. You remember initially when the chart was drawn and when the second volume was written, 1874, 1914, 40 years, harvest, 40 years, period. What does 40 symbolize in the scriptures? We don't think it symbolizes harvest. It symbolizes probation, or complete trial or experience. We'll give you just a couple instances in the scriptures. You can search it out for yourself. But if I hadn't told you what 40 represented, you could have told me, I'm sure, because as you think about it, you remember what 40 represents. Deuteronomy 25:3. 40 stripes were the maximum stripes you could give a person under the law. Why? Because that was complete trial, experience, or probation. Jonah 3:4, Nineveh's period of probation. Nineveh repented and consequently wasn't destroyed. It didn't represent a harvest. It represented a complete trial, experience, or probation. Luke 4:2, Jesus' temptation or trial or probation in the wilderness under the temptations of Satan. Hebrews 3:8-9, Israel's 40-year wandering, where God suggests that that was a trial on him in his relationship with Israel. In verse 9, he says, your fathers tempted me, proved me. The Greek for proved me is put me to the test, and saw my works 40 years. There the Apostle Paul, quoting God, virtually gives us a definition of 40, a period of proving or testing. Okay, think also the reigns of Saul, David, and Solomon. You remember the first three kings of Israel? They all reigned 40 years each. Why? Because they typified three ages of probation. Saul typified the Jewish age, probation of Israel. David typified the gospel age, probation of the church. Solomon typified the messianic age, probation of the world. All 40-year reigns. You remember more. There's the flood, 40 days and 40 nights. There's Moses' life, divided into periods of 40 plus 40 plus 40. There's Sinai at the lawgiving when Moses was in Mount Sinai for 40 days, etc., 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 etc. We all know what 40 means. I think we all accept 40. 40 is not a symbol of harvesting. It is a symbol of testing. I believe, brethren, that this is all Brother Russell is telling us in that most quoted of reprint articles, 5950. The harvest is not yet ended. And there he isn't talking about two harvests. He's just saying, here on our chart, we've got a harvest. It's not over. The dotted line no longer represents 1914. If you're looking at this chart for events, he's not denying the parallels. He's not denying 40 years. 40 years is just as valid as it was the day he wrote the second volume. He's just saying, for convenience sake, now let's make sure that harvest means the period of finding the wheat, like harvest means in anybody's language. I'm going to ask the audience a question. Some of you may not have thought about it. Some of you no doubt have. I'd like to see a show of hands. Is there anyone in this room who rejects the 40-year parallel concept? Is there anybody in this room who does not think the valid parallel exists between 29 and 69 and 74 and 14, on or off the chart? Is there anybody in this room that rejects that concept? Nobody. Well, I call this a mediatorial discourse. That's why I'm asking you questions. But notice that. Nobody. Nobody rejects the 40-year parallel. Nobody. Not one hand went up anywhere in the audience. Not even slightly that I saw. Did I miss anybody? Okay. Now, I hope nobody in the audience is skeptical about that, about the result of the hand raising, because that would be calling your brother a liar, and there's rather strong warnings against that in Matthew 5:22. Let's restate the problem and go on. The problem is, will the chart of the ages best represent time, the parallels, or will the chart of the ages best represent events or work? And it is not the purpose of this discourse to convince you that one's better than the other. It is the purpose of this discourse to make you understand how the brethren with whom you never seem to communicate on it see it the other way. Roman numeral number 4, problems when the time viewpoint is retained as the primary function of the chart. In other words, for a moment, we're going to assume that this chart does represent the parallels, that both harvests pictured on the chart are exactly 40 years. I suppose it's rather suggestive on the outline. There's a lot of space listed under that one. I find a lot of problems with it. I do not think this is the best view. But as I said, I'm not criticizing the view. But I'll show you why I feel that it is a problem. First of all, I believe that the chart is primarily a witnessing tool, one to make the plan of God easily discernible. I believe that's why Habakkuk suggested what he did. And as a witnessing tool, the chart is greatly diminished in its value because we have to change the events that are pictured on it. You see, no dates are listed on it. If we show this to a person we're witnessing to, we don't have to say, well, that doesn't represent 1914 anymore, because 1914 isn't even pictured on there. But all those pyramids and shaded areas are. And so there's a lot of things that we will have to suggest need changing if we look at this strictly from the time viewpoint. Let's list some of them. Number one, this dotted line, which previously, before 1914, very aptly represented 1914, is shown on the chart as the end of the second dispensation. Of course, you may ask, how do I know to extend that second dispensation line, which just touches the top of the harvest arch? How do I know to extend that over to the right like this and come down to the dotted line? But that's not hard to explain, because everybody in this room, as far as I know, believes that this line here is 1874 in the beginning of the third dispensation. So we have to do the same with that line. It also stops at the top of the chart, and we have to extend it over to the left. So the similarity is obvious. So the dotted line is the end of the second dispensation. The second dispensation, we know from Scripture, is the time when it's over that Satan will be bound. It will be the end of deceiving. Revelation 20, verses 2 and 3. He will deceive the nations no more. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. He will blind the minds of the people no more. Because in no sense will he anymore be the God of this world, because this world, second dispensation, will be gone. Totally. So 1914, as the dotted line, you see, presents the problem there. Second reason. This little pyramid sitting up here in the harvest. Brother Russell only explains one way, and as far as I know, the brethren only explain one way. That's the church glorified. Totally. Obviously, the church is glorified before we reach the dotted line. So if we pin a date on that dotted line, that can no longer represent what Brother Russell put it there to represent. Third reason, this falling apart pyramid represents the burning of the tares. By the time we get to the dotted line, the tares are all burned up. So if the dotted line, of course, is any date in the past, we would have to say the tares are all burned. That causes a visual problem to anyone we're witnessing to. Fourth reason, what are these shaded areas on the chart represent? Trouble, don't they? Shaded areas on the chart represent trouble. We've all understood that, I think, ever since we've read the first volume. The trouble ends at the dotted line. If the dotted line is any date in the past, the shaded area can no longer represent the trouble because the trouble's still going on. So you see, if we retain a second volume or time view of the chart of the ages only, we're creating many problems with the symbolisms which Brother Russell himself designed on the chart. Plain M, you notice, the plane of spirit begettal, ends at the dotted line. That means when we reach this dotted line, whenever it is, there can't be any more spirit begotten people on the face of the earth. Our hopes, of course, would be gone. That is what it represents. That's how Brother Russell explained it. The next three reasons we'll give show conditions that exist after the dotted line. All those we've discussed up to this point show things before the dotted line. After we've reached the dotted line, the chart very definitely shows the great company is glorified. So you see, that symbolism would go if the dotted line represented any date in the past. After the dotted line, this shaded part of this large pyramid shows Israel exalted above the other nations, Zechariah 8:23. 10 men of all languages of all nations will take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew and say, we will go with you. That condition exists subsequent to the dotted line. So we would have a problem with that event, which is pictured on the chart, if we insisted on the date of 1914 for the dotted line. And last, in the Messianic Age, for the first time in the history of mankind, there is no one on plane R after the dotted line. Because the world under the mediator is justified, tentatively, on plane N, because the blood has been applied, reprint 5959. So we've given 8 symbols on the chart that show, and I'm sure everyone in the room, regardless of your view, realized that when Brother Russell designed the chart, these symbolisms of pyramids, lines, shaded areas, and so on represented those very things that I just presented to you. Oh, you might argue about one or two of them, maybe 3 of them, but I don't think anybody can contradict all 8 of them. And certainly not from Brother Russell's writings. So, if you happen in your witnessing to use one of these charts, which is the chart in most of the volumes, you'll get even into further trouble then, you see, because the events are also listed under there, as we read at the beginning of the lesson. So the problems that exist in keeping the chart to represent the parallel ages shown in the second volume is that we have to ignore the symbolisms as they sit there. Now, I am not saying that somebody who holds that view is changing the chart. I am not saying that somebody who holds the chronological view of the chart primarily is ignoring the symbolisms there. They have ways of explaining them around. I say they because that's not my point of view anymore. It was at one time. I think I had to force things. Let's look at the other view now. Roman numeral number 5. Problems when the event viewpoint is retained as the primary function of the chart. All the problems under the previous Roman numeral were problems that you would mostly have when talking as a witness to someone. The problems here under Roman numeral number 5 are problems that you'll probably have with brethren when you use the chart. Because brethren are very time-oriented, and that's wonderful, because the chronology is sure as it's possible to be. There isn't a thing wrong with it. I was very happy to see that there wasn't an individual in the whole hall that disagreed with the 40-year parallels, because they're sound, they're scriptural, they're ideal. And now this is the one thing that we must remember now. Those of us who hold the event view of the chart, when we're speaking with a brother or sister who holds the time view of the chart, just remember, the time parallels of the second volume are so dear to them that they want to see them in front of them. That's why I held that when I held it, because I thought the parallels were the most marvelous time thing. I still do. I simply don't think they're represented on the chart. And I think the best argument for this is that when Brother Russell wrote Volume 2, he did not find the chart of the ages sufficient to demonstrate the parallels. He drew new charts in the second volume to make it clear. If we hold the event viewpoint, we must remember that there are very definitely dates implied on the chart, even if we hold the event viewpoint. This is a fixed date, 1874. There's no way to move that. This is a fixed date, 1878. There's no way to move that. This is a fixed date, 1881. There's no way to move that. All of these lines here are fixed dates. Maybe even this dotted line in the Jewish age. You see, our whole argument seems to stem over this one line. So if you hold, as I do, the event viewpoint of the chart, remember that those who hold the date viewpoint of the chart are so close that they see everything on that chart the same way you do.
Except for that one line. And that's what all the squabbling's about. Isn't that silly?
Really, it is rather pathetic. Because virtually some of us are first volume oriented with the chart, some of us are second volume oriented with the chart. When we are in studies together and we speak of the parallels and we refer to the chart, I think we simply must realize that the 40-year parallel is not shown on the chart unless we ignore the event symbols. Let's go to our summary. Roman numeral 6. If someone suggests from the platform or in fellowship, we can't change the chart, agree with them. Of course we can't change the chart. The chart is really quite a wonderful document. We can't do without it. But do distinguish between the event view of the chart and the chronological view of the chart. I think that's almost all you have to do. When you are with Brother X who sees the event view, look at it with him as the event view. That shouldn't be so hard for you if you believe in Volume 1. When you're with Brother Y who views it from the chronological viewpoint, look at him through the Volume 2 viewpoint eyes that he's looking at it through. That shouldn't be so hard to do. Just slight a little adjustment. It's worthwhile. It's really quite wonderful. We get along much better. Nobody's changing the chart. The charge that somebody's changing the chart is a straw man. Ignore it. It's not so. Don't get angry with somebody who says it. Just sit down with them and reason on it and say, oh, I see. You're just looking at it from the second volume viewpoint. I'm looking at it from the first volume viewpoint. Now, for practicality's sake, in our summary, I think it is important to say one thing. The closest we do come to changing it is that when we insist that the chronological view is the only proper one, then indeed we are changing the visible symbols, because we gave you 8 of them that will not fit if the chronological view is the only proper view of the chart. Then the chart would have to be changed. So let's not put ourselves in a position of insistence and say, my view, the second volume view of the Chart of the Ages, is the only correct one, because in essence what we're saying then is Volume 1 is worthless, and I don't think anyone wants to say that. Understanding increases tolerance. If you don't agree with another view, find out why. The other person has good reasons. Listen in context when another person is talking. If someone's explaining the chart from the chronological viewpoint because he wants to show you how the parallels work, look at it that way. It won't hurt. Be flexible enough to turn on or off a viewpoint as it is convenient to teach the needed points. The chart is a friend. Don't make an enemy of it. Don't make enemies with it. I hope nobody was offended by what I said, because at least the Lord knows that's the last thing I'd want to do. It has hurt me to see that there is any argument over the Chart of the Ages, which to the Harvest Church is their roadmap. I tried to stand here as a mediator, even though I favor one viewpoint very strongly, and I think I gave just reason for it. But I can listen to a person with the parallel view of the chart very easily, as long as I say, David, listen with the parallel viewpoint. Works fine. No problems. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother David. Appreciate those. A lesson on the chart. Brethren who need accommodations, Well, I see our accommodations committee of Brother John Ukrainsky and Brother John Peters. A note of interest, we've had about 400 brethren at our convention thus far, the maximum, perhaps a little bit more. And one of the brethren handed me a little slip, and it says here that there's 20 states represented, as well as the province of Canada. So we have quite a number of brethren from all over the United States. Dinner will be served, and you're all invited to stay with us. We'll reconvene again at 6:45 this evening for the question meeting. You put questions in the box, you should see here the answers. And so we'll reconvene again at 6:45, and your chairman then will be Brother James Martin. Let us close with the remaining two verses of 248. The remaining two verses of 248, and Brother David Duran will dismiss us with prayer and ask a blessing on our dinner hour. 248.
Of thy character, for the glimpse of the truth of thy plan for the ages that we have received. We pray for the love that we should have. We pray for the clarity in doctrine and speech and communication and in service that we should have. We pray that thou will overrule where we fall short. Keep us from stumbling one another. Help us to develop that quality which will make us an acceptable part of the mediator for the world of mankind. We always pray forgiveness in our Lord Jesus, knowing that we can do nothing aright. And we pray in thankfulness for his merit, knowing that it is accepted as if it were right. Bless our fellowship and our partaking of food, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.